Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many's glad his kindness, his goodness, and his mercy is not fleeting? It's not just here for a time or a moment. It is forever. Stand with me this morning. Open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, starting with the first verse. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, starting with the first verse. I'm also going to be reading verses 16 through 23. Title of my message this morning is Quench Not the Spirit. Last week I spoke to you on the spirit of Antichrist and how the stage is set, that we are living in the last days. The first verse says, "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night." How many knows if you knew a thief was coming tonight, you'd be waking up? Staying awake. I'd be awake and with a baseball bat. "For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. And they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and of love, and as a helmet of the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath." God did not appoint us to wrath, "but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him." Then he goes on down in verse 16, "Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Would you bow your head with me? Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this anointing that I feel here today. I thank you for the presence. What an awesome privilege it is to stand in the presence of an awesome God. I pray, God, that your anointing would rest upon everyone here. I come against anything that would try to bind up this service, but I loose your people to receive in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Turn around and tell your neighbor to wake up. The Bible said that we are children of the light. We are not of the darkness. So we don't sleep. Church, it's time to wake up and know that we're living in the last days. I'm going to say that again. It's time to wake up and know that we are living in the last days. For when they say peace and safety, then comes sudden destruction. When this world is looking at peace and safety, get ready. It's only going to get worse. I've got to say that again. It's only going to get worse. In the last few weeks on the History Channel, They've been showing end time, the end of days. And they've talked about how that at any time a super volcano, such as in Yellowstone Park, could explode and bring just about an end to our world. They talked about how that there's a mountain or an island right off the coast of Africa that is splitting. And if it splits and falls into the sea, it will create a tsunami that will be 100 feet high, traveling 1,000 miles a second, and will hit the United States and wipe it out, and Britain will be gone, and a lot of the world will be gone. And they're not saying if it will happen, they're saying when it will happen. In October 2029, there is a meteorite that has our world in its sight. They already know, and they say that the hope is that it will pass between our satellites and our Earth. They talked about the Mayan calendar, and everybody has heard about 2012, how that the sun will be in the center of the universe, and that there will be mass destruction going on. All I know is the Bible tells us it's going to get worse before it gets better. But the Bible says that there shall be earthquakes, there shall be famines, there shall be pestilence. Nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be false prophets, for many say that they are Christ, but be not deceived. And that's what it says. When these things begin to come to pass, look up, lift up your heads. Your redemption draws nigh. Can somebody praise the Lord? It's only going to get worse. But the Bible said he's coming as a thief in the night. A thief doesn't want those who are home to know he's coming. It is a complete surprise. Not long ago, someone came out a book that said Jesus was coming, and it was September 28th in 1988, I believe it was. Someone asked me, Pastor, is he coming then? I said, no. Because no man knows the hour or the day. But Jesus said, you can tell by the sky at night and the sky in the morning or what season it is. But you cannot discern the signs of the time. Jesus said, when the fig leaves are on the fig tree, you know that summer is nigh. Let me tell you something, church. We might not know the exact day or hour, but we know that we are living in the season and the end times, and that Jesus Christ is getting ready to come back. I wish somebody would praise him right now. We can see we're not in darkness. We need to wake up. We need to wake up. We need to wake up. Jesus Christ is coming back. When my kids were little, and how many knows when you got kids, sometimes they don't want to wake up. Amen. I always had ways of waking them up. Sing to them. I used to go in and drive them crazy. I used to take my fingers and go, here comes Tarzan. Oh. Here comes Jane. Oh. Here comes Cheetah. Ooh, ooh, ooh. And then I would go, here comes the elephant. And they hated it, but it got them up. One time my niece came over and spent the night. She was in bed with my daughter, and they were in the bedroom, and they wouldn't get up. It was time for church. My daughter had a keyboard in her room. I turned it on and began to play and sing. Pillows were flying at me, but they got up. I've come this morning to shake you. I've come this morning to wake you up. Jesus Christ is getting ready to come. We are living in the last days. Open up your eyes and see. We're not in darkness. This day should not overtake us unaware. We should be ready, excited. Jesus Christ is coming back again. Last week I spoke to you about the European Union and how that in 1957 the first treaty was signed for the Europe in Rome. and it has been revised. In 2007, the Lisbon Treaty was signed to come into effect December 1st, 2009. In it is the creation of a long-term president of the European Union. Also, there is a high representation, a representative of the Union of Foreign Affairs and Security Policy. So you're going to have a president over all of Europe. There is also, the treaty also made the Union's Human Rights Charter. I have a video to show you.
We're here at Bar Epifani here in central Rome to do a story on crosses. Now, you can see even in bars in Italy, a lot of them will have a cross. Bar Epifani has it. It's very important to them in terms of being their identity as a Catholic country, or what used to be seen as a majority Catholic country. Recently, the controversy here, a court ruling in Europe has determined that Italy should consider taking all of its crosses out of public buildings, and that includes schools. We went to a school earlier to see what they thought of it all. The Giuseppe Gioacchino Belli Middle School, in the shadow of the Vatican, teaches its pupils under the steady gaze of a crucifix in every classroom. And headmistress Carla Costetti says it should stay that way. I think that the majority of European countries, where Christianity has played a historical and important role, will hardly proceed with the removal of the crucifix. This does not mean not to adapt. It means, however, that sovereignty is to respect the identity of each independent state. What about all of our churches, our paintings, the Virgin shrines on the streets? What are we going to obscure? Everything? Because it could become offensive for those who don't believe in those symbols? There are quite a few people, though, in Italy who believe it's time that the cross be taken out of public buildings. Atheist and judge Luigi Tosti tells me he believes the crucifix, when exposed in public places like schools, violates religious freedom.
I want to challenge the crucifix being a symbol of morality, culture, and civilization. We must consider that the swastika, for example, is a symbol of negative values because Nazis are responsible for the deaths of 6 million people, Jews, gypsies, and homosexuals. And if we evaluate the history of Christianity, we're not talking about 6 million people killed, but of 100 million people killed, tortured, or ghettoized in its 1800-year history with the Crusade.
Now, considering the vital importance of the cross to the Catholic Church, the Vatican's reaction has been downright sarcastic. It says it will do all it can to save one of its most sacred symbols. The Vatican Secretary of State, Tarciso Bertone, said, "Unfortunately, this Europe of the third millennium only leaves us with pumpkins of the recently celebrated parties, and it deprives us of our dearest symbols. This is truly a loss." Okay, so we've come back to Bar Epifani now to ask why they have a cross and why it's so important to them. This is Fiorella Freschi. Perché la croce è così importante?
Perché è il simbolo della mia cultura.
Because it's a symbol of my culture, she tells us.
Io rispetto, diciamo, anche le altre culture.
I respect other religions, but I'm not taking down my cross.
Io non vorrei toglierla.
And the crucifixes have a temporary reprieve. The ruling won't be enforced by Europe's Council of Human Rights for now. And the Italian government says such rulings make them doubt the common sense of Europe. Paula Newton, CNN, Rome.
The name Antichrist means against Christ. It will be enforced by the Human Rights Charter of the European Union. It was signed in effect December 1st, 2009, and within a couple of months, the attack on the church. You know why the devil wants all the crosses down? Because it represents our salvation. It represents the fact that Jesus Christ died for our sins. The devil was defeated. I wish somebody would praise him. Let me tell you something. We are living in the last days. Wake up, wake up, wake up. Jesus Christ is getting ready to come. The Antichrist is all ready for him. But before he can take his place, them that restrain must be taken out of the way. The restrainer is the blood-bought, Holy Ghost-filled church. We're getting ready to leave. We're getting ready to get out of here. Wake up. Open up your eyes. Don't be asleep. Don't be in the dark. Jesus Christ is coming again. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Wake up. Are you still with me? Quench not the spirit. If there ever was a time when we need a Holy Ghost revival, it's in the day and time we live. If there ever was a time we need Pentecost, it's in the day and time we live. If there ever was a time we need the moving of the Holy Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, it is right now. If there ever was a time for us to let the Holy Spirit have his way, for where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Pastor, we're living in the last days. Yes, we are. Jesus Christ is coming. But before he comes, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh in the last days. Church, wake up. Get ready. It's time for Pentecost. Quench not the spirit. How do we quench the spirit? By not allowing the Holy Spirit to work. By not allowing him to do what he's called to do. Somebody say amen. Amen. Why is the Holy Spirit here? I'm glad you asked. The Holy Spirit is here to draw men to Jesus Christ. I'm going to say that again. The Holy Spirit is here to draw men to Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is here, for you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Can I tell you that if you're not witnessing and winning people to Jesus Christ, you are quenching. Oh, my. You are quenching the Holy Spirit. Me and Brother Travis was out having lunch, and we was talking. He was telling me about what's going on in his life. We was talking about praise and worship, and you know, we were talking about God, feeling God, and eating buffalo wings. You can't beat that. The waitress came by, and as she left, the Holy Spirit just quickened me. And when she came back, I said, "Is your name Mia?" She said, "Yeah." I go, "Mia, can I tell you something?" She got down on her knee. And so Jan looked at me, I said, "Somebody told me to tell you they love you very much." And she went like this. She looked at Travis. And then she looked around. And then she looked at me and said, "Oh, yeah." I go, "Yeah, Jesus." She drew a smiling face on our receipt. "Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you very much." And all of that. I don't know what was going on in her life, but let me tell you something. There was a Holy Spirit in me that could not handle it. God quickened me. You want to not quench the Holy Spirit? Allow the Holy Spirit to move in your life and touch in people's life. Not only that, he's given you a power and authority to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Not that they might, not that they hopefully, they shall recover. It is time for the Holy Spirit to work. We need a revival where blinded eyes are open, deaf ears hear, the dumb talk, the lame walk, the dead are raised. It is time for Holy Ghost revival. Hallelujah. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. He's given us authority over the devil. "For you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You shall cast out devils." It's time to have authority in your home, on your job. He's called us, the Holy Spirit in us, is to affect our neighborhood, to affect our community. If we are not doing it, we are quenching the Holy Spirit. We are quenching the Holy Spirit. We're sitting on him. How do you do that? People are moving and praising God. Someone told me one time, said, Pastor, man, I felt like God spoke to me and told me to run. And I said, and you didn't? Well, I didn't know what you would do. I said, I'd probably chase you. Somebody praise him. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to move. We need the gifts, the fruits, and the administration of the Holy Spirit in our church. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I wish somebody would praise him. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to have his way in our church. We need a Holy Ghost revival. Jesus Christ is getting ready to come. We are living in the last days. I said we are living in the last days. We need a Holy Ghost revival. Rivers. Turn around and tell your neighbor, river. Jesus said on that great day of the feast, according to John 7, 37 through 39, he stood up and he said, any man that thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believes on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. And then John goes on to say this, he spoke of the Holy Spirit that had not yet been given because Jesus Christ had not been glorified. Can I do a little teaching here? Remember when Mary ran into Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane and she fell down and she called him rabbi or teacher. And he said, do not touch me, for I have not been to the Father had been glorified. Do you remember that? Then we find him that evening stepping into an upper room and telling the disciples, reach now, stick your finger in the holes in my hand, stick your hand in my side. And then he sat down and ate. What happened between that morning and that evening? I'm glad you asked. Jesus Christ ascended to the Father. He walked into the heavens of heavens and walked into a tabernacle not made by man's hands. He walked before Jehovah God, Yahweh, and he goes in and there's the mercy seat and he put his blood upon the mercy seat. And when he put his blood upon the mercy seat, the Father said, it is worthy. It is worthy for the washing away of sin for all time. It is an everlasting blood. It is an everlasting covenant. And then he was glorified. And then he came back. Oh, I wish somebody would praise him. Hallelujah. But because he was glorified. Amen. They were standing on a hill. And all of a sudden he was taken up in the clouds. And they all were like this. I would be too. And two angels appeared and said, why stand here gazing? This same Jesus was taken up. Is coming again. In like manner. I wish somebody would praise him. But you know what? He's not coming as a baby in a manger. He's not coming as a fourth man in the fire. He's not coming on a cross. He's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and God Almighty. I wish somebody would praise him. Hallelujah! But he said, because I go to the Father, I will pray to the Father, and he will send you another comforter, another counselor, a spirit that will lead you into all truth. He goes to the Father. 120 are in an upper room, and they were in one mind, in one accord, and then suddenly, there came a sound from heaven like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the the place where they were sitting, and cloven tongues of fire set upon them, and they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. That moment, the river began to flow. That moment, the water began to flow. The living water. Oh, are you still with me? I said, out of your belly or out of your heart shall flow rivers of living water. You know what living water is? Wherever it goes, it brings life. Whew, my God. Wherever it goes, it brings life. You know, we have what they call church language. The Holy Spirit fell last night. One person says, well, did he get hurt? Slain in the spirit. The world goes, what? They call it passing out. The Holy Spirit fell. Listen to me. When God moves in our service, the Holy Spirit does not fall from heaven. He already fell from heaven. It don't come from out there. It comes from. I said it comes from. Because here, look at. Over here, we have rivers flowing. And right here, we have rivers flowing. And right here, we have rivers flowing. And over there, we have rivers flowing. And there, 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 and up there. You know what we got with all that river flowing? We got a flood going on. I wish somebody would praise him. And a flood breaks new ground. A flood washes away old things and makes all things new. It's time for us to allow the rivers. Turn around and tell your neighbor, rivers to flow out of our lives. Listen to me. If the world's going to be touched, it's going to come out of. Because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. I said we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So it flows out of us. I'm talking about rivers. He spoke of it as the Holy Ghost. Are you ready for this? Rivers, or potamus, literally means a river, a torrent, a flood. I don't want a trickle. I want a river. Hallelujah. You know what? Rivers, water that don't move is stagnant. It is dead. There's a place in the Middle East called the Dead Sea. You can float on top of it. Because of all the minerals are in it. But there's no life in that water. You know why? Because there is an intake. But there's nothing flowing out. There's water coming in, but there's no water flowing out. Let me tell you something, church. If we got it flowing in, but it ain't flowing out, we're stagnant. And there is no life in it. It's time to break open the dams. It's time to unplug the rivers. It's time for the rivers to flow out of us. Everybody listen to me. You got to hear this. You've got to hear this. Do you know why the devil attacks you with fear and depression? You know why the devil wants to bring you down and put so many battles in your life? It is to stop up the rivers that are flowing in your life that you might not touch other people. It is time to break them down. It is time to tell the devil he is a liar. Amen. Why are you worried about something you can't do anything about anyhow? Give it to God and let the rivers flow. Hallelujah. Jesus said to the woman at the well, he said, if you knew who I was, you would ask me to drink and I would give you a drink of living water. You'll never thirst again. Hallelujah. Paul said that Jesus is the spiritual rock that was in the wilderness. What was that rock? It was a rock. They were in the wilderness of sin and there was a drought. How many knows there'll always be a drought in the wilderness of sin? Are you ready for some more teaching? Moses goes to God and said, there's no water. He said, meet me at the rock. And when he gets there, he said, you take Aaron's rod and smite the rock. And he smote the rock. And out of that rock began to flow living water. Whew. Are you still with me? You ready for this? The rock followed them. Because they found themselves in another place and the rock was there. It was rock and roll. And this time Moses goes to God and said, we're thirsty again. He said, go back to the rock. Don't smite it. Speak to it. Say, rock, we need some water. Moses was afraid of what the people would say, so he smote it again. And because of God's grace, he let the water flow again. Listen to me. Jesus is that rock that God smote on Calvary. Isn't it amazing on Calvary? He said, I thirst, that you and I may never thirst again. He was smitten on Calvary and the water began to flow. Let me tell you something. He never has to die again. He never has to be smitten again. All we've got to do is go to the rock and say, I'm thirsty, and the water flows again. Amen. All we've got to do is say, I made a mistake. I fell. I sinned. And the water flows again. I wish somebody would praise him. Hallelujah. Listen, listen, listen. Jesus died. He was that rock that the water began to flow out of and flow to this world. Now, are you ready? Are you ready? The Bible said that he's the rock the builders rejected. He has become the chief cornerstone. And you and I are living stones built up upon him. Listen to me. If people want to drink of the living water, it flows from the rock to the living stone. The reason we need to let the rivers flow is this world needs a drink. They need a drink. They're trying everything else. They're trying alcohol, they're trying drugs, they're trying illicit sex, they're trying pornography, whatever they're trying to do to fill this thirst within them. It cannot be filled only by the living water. Somebody say amen. I saw a movie called The Lifeboat. In the movie The Lifeboat, a group of people was out on a lifeboat in the middle of the ocean, 2 miles deep of water. And they were thirsting to death. And they were told, do not drink the seawater because of the salt content in it. It will dry you out. And you drink it, you die of thirst. Did you hear that? You drink that water, you die of thirst. One man drank it all night. The next morning they found him. He had literally died of thirst drinking all night. Alcohol, drugs, all these things that you try to quench your thirst with is only gonna kill you. But there is a well. There is a river that flows living waters. Where does it flow out of? It flows out of you and I. That's why the devil's trying to stop it up with all the things going on in your life. Tell the devil he is a liar. You will be a conduit of the Holy Ghost and of the power of God, and you'll let the rivers flow into a lost and dying world that we might reach them. Oh, are you still with me? Living, Zeo, living water having vital power in itself and exerting the same upon the soul. Living water, wherever it goes, it brings life. Do you know you can bring life to your job? Do you know you can bring life in your home? You can bring life to your children. Peter and John came out of a prayer meeting and they were going to church. And they ran into a man that was sitting by the gate called Beautiful, who had been there for years. There was something about them that caught his attention. He thought they were rich or crazy. Because I don't believe they were going like, I don't know who's going to make it tomorrow. I don't know what we're going to do. The debt was fighting so bad. I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills. No, I believe they were going, praise God, hallelujah. Man, we've just been filled with the power of God. We felt the touch of God. God is alive. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. And the man thought they must have money. He said, alms, they said, silver and gold have we not. But what we have, we give unto you in the name of Jesus. And then they let some river flow, hallelujah. I said, they let some river flow. And the river grabbed a hold of him. And he stood up and began to walk. It is time to let the river. Amen, Pastor Mullins. That's good preaching. Hallelujah. 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 Is there any Holy Ghost filled river moving children of God in the house? Let the river flow. Hallelujah. Man, I wish we had a center aisle. I'd be running it right now. I feel the power of God. It's time for Pentecost. It's time for the moving of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. The word water, hador, in fountain and pools, the water of the deluge. In other words, it was left over. Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me, and I'm leaving some behind for you. He said, I have power over sickness, and I'm leaving some behind for you. He said, I got power over death. I'm leaving. Hallelujah. But I've got to allow that river to flow. Rivers. Rivers. Pastor, how do we break it open? How do we get the stones and the dam and that was blocking it up out of the way of fear, depression, bill collectors? Oh, I feel like saying that again, bill collectors. Whether I have my job or not. What's going on with my kids? What's going on in my home? Arguing with your spouse over stupid stuff. How do I break that open? And the Bible said, with joy shall we draw from the wells. You want to break it open? Begin to praise and worship God. Amen. Let the wells of joy flow out of your life. Somebody say amen. Oh, glory to God. Honey, what's going on? The bill collector called, said they're coming to take everything. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, Pastor, I don't know if I can do that. You've got to do that. You can't do anything about it anyways. Praise Him. Worship. When he tells you not to dance, dance. When he tells you not to praise, praise. When he tells you not to sing, sing. Hallelujah. And that begins to break it open. That begins to break it through. Somebody shout hallelujah. I had one man come to me and said, Pastor, I can't dance. I can't praise God. There's so much going on in my life. I can't dance. I can't praise God. I said, come here. And I grabbed him by the hand. I said, I want you to do with me this, right in front of church. And he's looking at me. So he started doing this. I said, you don't feel it, do you? He goes, nope. I said, now start praising God with every jump. And he started, praise God, praise God. Next thing you know, he was letting go of me and began to run around the church. Hallelujah. You know what happened? He broke through. Amen. He broke through with praise. He broke through with worship. I wish somebody would get a breakthrough this morning. The devil's trying to hold you back, but the only reason is he's afraid of the rivers flowing out of you. Breakthrough, breakthrough.
through. Because we are living in the last days. I said we are living in the last days. We need the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise and worship. Reading the Word of God. Praying. How many have been reading the Word? How many have been taking your calendar and following along? Shame on you. How many's been praying? Because if you're praying, you're reading the Word of God, you're praising and worshiping, no weapon formed against you shall. Corrie Ten Boom said this, you must first empty yourself out to be filled. And when you are filled, you are a conqueror. And not only that, you are being prepared to receive all things. Hallelujah. We are living in the last days. It's time for a Holy Ghost revival. This morning, God has already gave me my message for next week. And we're staying right here. We're staying right here. Rivers of living water. God has got something for you to do, and everything you're going through is to stop you from being a conduit of living waters, to stop you from allowing the Holy Spirit to move in your life and touch people's lives. Bring refreshing living water to a lost and dying world. Break free. How do you do it? Worship. Pastor, you don't know my past. Don't care. Because God don't remember it. Why are you? Let me tell you something. God is not forgetful. He's God. If he forgets, it's because he chose. He had to use all his power to cause him to forget. But he forgot all of our past. It's all under the blood of Jesus. So what I want you to do is break free. Lift your hands all over this building and just begin to praise God. Come on, just begin to worship him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord just told me we need to do one more song. Weeping might endure for the night, but joy's coming in the morning. Amen. Now here's what I want you to do. When we get to that part where it says, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. If you can't jump, I want you to do this. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Amen. Has anybody got victory here today? I said, does anybody got victory here today? Is there anybody with living waters flowing? I said, is there anybody with living waters flowing? said, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Come on, give him some praise. Glory. Woo. Turn around and give two or three people a high five. Tell them, I've got victory this morning. I've got the victory this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ushers, will you prepare? If you'll just be seated for a few moments, we have just one more thing to do. I told you earlier that Jesus Christ is the rock smitten, that you and I might be conduits of the living water. Today we're going to celebrate what Jesus Christ did for us on Calvary, the rock that was smitten. The Bible said that we should do this in remembrance of what Christ did, but not only what he did, but that he's coming again. So every time we do communion, it is not just a remembrance of what Christ did. It is a celebration that he is coming again. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Said this, after they had supped, Jesus lifted the bread and blessed it. Would you lift the bread? Father, we pray that you bless this bread. Not only the bread, but that which it represents, your body broken for us, that we may never thirst again, that our sins will be washed away, for truly there is a fountain that flows from Emmanuel's vein. And we thank you, Lord. We praise you for it. He took the bread and he broke it. You can break it. And said, this is my body. Take and eat as often as you eat it. Do it in remembrance of me. You can eat. Then he took the cup and lifted up the cup. If you will lift up the cup. Lord, we thank you for the fruit of the vine. We pray that you bless it. But not only the fruit of vine, but that which it represents, the precious blood of Jesus that washes our sin away. For what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So we thank you for it, Lord. We ask your blessings upon it in the name of Jesus. And he took the cup and he said, this is my blood which is shed for you, the blood of the everlasting covenant. As often as you drink it, do it in remembrance of me. You can drink. Hallelujah. 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 Hasn't it been good to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Does anybody have the victory? Hallelujah. As one old minister used to say, if that don't light your fire, your wood is wet. Praise the Lord. Some things I want you to pray about at the end of this month, Sunday the 31st, I believe it is. 31st. We're having baptism. And so if you need to be baptized, please come over. We have a sign-up sheet. Pastor, I was baptized when I was 10. If you walked away from God and you came back to God, you need to be baptized. The Bible says, do your first works over. You need to be baptized. Also, be in special prayer for this. Sunday the 24th at 4 o'clock. Lindenhurst is having a united service. All the churches is coming together. OLPH, Grace Methodist, the Lutheran, the Presbyterian. We're all going to be at Grace Methodist, and I'm getting to preach. Amen. They told me they're giving me 15 minutes. They don't know what they're asking for. But be in prayer about that. Come. Support. Let's show a great representation of Evangel Church of God. I have been working for almost 3 years now, making our church to be involved in our community. And that is being involved with our churches. The Grace Methodist pastor and his wife came to our Christmas cantata. Amen. And so we're excited about that. We're excited about what God is doing. Amen. Please keep that in prayer. Come out and support. If you love the Lord, say amen. Amen. Would you lift your hands one more time? May the God of peace sanctify you, holy, body, soul, and spirit, and preserve you until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. May his grace overshadow you, his face shine upon you, his love overtake you and keep you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen and amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.